Another statute that did not pass, but I think we'll see again, is it was a proposed section 113.153 dealing with statutory accountings. As we all know, in the trust code, a beneficiary or other interested party can demand an accounting, and then the trustee has to make an accounting within 90 days unless you get court approval for a longer period. Well, what happens if you get the accounting and then you sit on it and you don't do anything about it? This statute would give protection to the trustee. And it says, if a beneficiary does not object to the trustee's accounting before the 180th day, after the date of the accounting has been delivered to the last known address of the beneficiary, and the beneficiary is considered to have approved the accounting, and absent fraud, intentional misrepresentation, or material omission, the trustee is released regard to liability related to all matters in the accounting. Seems like a very friendly trustee provision, and I think it is. I will say it's not unprecedented. There in the Uniform Trust Code has a very similar provision about accountings and getting them and putting the onus on the beneficiary to actually look at them and then complain about something if there's something objectionable in them. And I also state that in the UCC, when a bank gives bank statements to their customers, a customer has a duty to look at the statements and object within a certain time period, or they can't complain about items that are on their bank statements. So there is precedent for this. It did not pass. It didn't even get out of committee, but I bet we will see it again. One thing that comes up a decent amount in my practice, surprisingly, is the concept of de jure versus de facto trustee. Special needs trust, maybe not so much because this court created a human order, appointing the trustee, but maybe in succession issues this may come up. What is de facto versus de jure? What does that mean? A de jure officer is someone who is legally appointed in all respects. The I's are dotted, the T's are crossed, they are the trustee. And a de facto trustee is someone who maybe the I's aren't dotted and the T's aren't crossed, but they have been acting as the trustee. So they are the in fact trustee, though not the de jure trustee. What impact does that have on the trustee and the beneficiaries? One issue is, well, if you are just the de facto trustee, do you even owe fiduciary duties? You're not the de jure trustee. And in Byrd versus Carl Anderson, this came out of Austin, you had a case where a trust beneficiary sued a defendant for usurping the trustee's role and sued for breach of fiduciary duty. The defendant said, well, there is no such thing as de facto status, and filed a motion to dismiss, saying, I don't owe you a fiduciary duty because I'm not the trustee. And that was denied by the trial court, and they tried to do an interlocutory appeal to the Court of Appeals on that. And when you do that, the Court of Appeals has a couple of things they need to see. One is there a conflict in law, legal issue? And second, is it substantial? And third, will it progress the end of the litigation if we actually decide it? Here they say, well, it's not going to progress the end of the litigation. Won't materially advance the termination of the litigation due to the existence of similar alternative theories. And in it, the court said, the trial court has yet to make a more salient determination of whether the defendant owed the beneficiaries a fiduciary duty either as a de facto trustee or under some other equitable principle, which is a question of law for the court that turns on the specific facts yet to be developed, rather than on the legal capacity in which John was sued. Considering that fiduciary duties are equitable in nature and generally not subject to hard and fast rules. So they're saying the facts may lead to create fiduciary duties in someone, and we don't know the facts yet. This is so early in the case, so we're going to deny the appeal. But I think it clearly telegraphs. I mean, normally when a court denies a petition for an interlocutory appeal, it's like a one-page, well, it's like a one-line. It just says, no, thank you. Thanks for asking. This was like a long opinion that talks about these issues, and it's really the first opinion in Texas that really delves into de facto trustee status. So I think, in my opinion, clearly if you are the de facto trustee, even though you're not de jure, you still owe fiduciary duties to the beneficiaries. Another aspect of de facto trustee status is kind of a gotcha. Well, you've been doing this work all this time, but you were never correctly appointed, so are you entitled to compensation? And that has been litigated a good bit in other jurisdictions. The Seventh Circuit has a test for de facto trustee status under that issue, and that is the essential elements for a de facto trustee is the office or position must be assumed under color of right or title, and two, those claiming de facto status may exercise the duties of the office. So first, I mean, it's a fairly narrow test. The under color of title, color of right or title kind of means you thought you were the de jure trustee, you just weren't. And secondly, you actually were doing it. In that circumstance, you may be entitled to some or all of your compensation. However, if you failed that test, those jurisdictions would not allow you to have compensation. And if you've taken compensation, you may have to pay it back. There's also other concepts in Texas that we have heard of, and that is, well, first of all, I want to say with regard to the compensation, in Alpert versus Raleigh, there is a Texas case. In it, a trustee sued for compensation. There was a bunch of claims back and forth. One of the claims, the trustee said, well, I didn't pay myself compensation, and I'm entitled to compensation. Trial court denied it. The Court of Appeals said, well, you were never the de jure trustee because the trust document required you to file your acceptance in the real property records. You did not do that, so you didn't dot your I's and cross your T's. And so since you weren't the de jure trustee, the trial court didn't abuse its discretion in denying you compensation.